Are you interested in the paranormal and the supernatural? My name is Daniel, and I am the host of Chilling True Tales. I've realized that we all share our reality with beings we don't understand, and sometimes it's hard to tell what's real and what isn't. That shadow that's standing in the corner watching you, that voice you hear call your name, that strange light in the sky that disappears when you point it out, are they actually there? I have been interested in the paranormal since I was a child, having had my own fair share of experiences. And other people have shared their first-hand experiences with me over the years as well, maybe looking for answers. I started SOS Paranormal to record, investigate, and share this area of interest so that all of you can experience this too. So please join me at Chilling True Tales for real experiences from real people. Now, are you ready?
Welcome to Cosmic Channels. I'm your host, Brayden. This is your Cosmic Call-In Show, where you can call in with all your spooky, paranormal, UFO, ghost, Bigfoot stories, true life encounters. There's only one time to do that. That's Thursday nights, 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can call at 1-833-703-0424. That's 1-833-703-0424. Now, Cosmic Channels is completely crowdsourced. We get all the everything to run the show, we get from the fans, just like Wikipedia. We need your donations to keep this show afloat. So this week, I would like to thank this episode's sponsors, who are Jeff, Julissa, Bandito Frito, and Anthony. Thank you so much for donating to Cosmic Channels and helping keep the lights on. Your support means everything, and it's how we keep going. Now, before we start, if you're looking to support Cosmic Channels, there's a couple ways you can do it. You can head to streamlabs.com/cosmicchannels/tip and get on that leaderboard. You give a tip, it shows where you are in the tip leaderboard for the month, all time. That's the best way to do it. Or, if you're like, hey, listen, I want to help Cosmic Channels out, but, I want to do it free. Easy. Listen, go stream a couple of our videos on YouTube. Help us get those YouTube numbers up. Go to our social medias. Give us a like and follow. Throw a comment on a video. Hey, I like this story. I like this show. It all helps. And without the support, this show's dead in the water. So thank you to everyone who continues to support Cosmic Channels. But just like that, there's a call on the line. Let's go to the call. Cosmic Channels, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Corey Treverson from the Sunnyvale Trailer Park. How's it going, man?
Good. How's Corey Treverson going?
Oh, shit. All right, dude.
What do you got for us tonight?
I have a secondhand UFO encounter.
I love it. Let's get right to it. Let's hear it.
All right. So this is actually my mom's UFO encounter from the late 1980s. So we live in Ontario, and this was in like a more rural part. Like, I'm talking in the 80s.
Hold on. Are you actually from Sunnyvale Trailer Park?
Oh, son of a gun. My family goes back, you know? We moved in.
I didn't know we had royalty here.
Well, come on. You know, it's Cosmic Channels. This is your show.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to you. So your mom's UFO story from the 80s. I want to hear it.
Yeah. So she was in out in the sticks driving with her friend. And to set the scene, it's the county, middle of the night, somewhere around midnight. She's out on these dirt roads in her old Firebird because, she was cool.
Yeah.
And they saw this bright light in the sky that just got brighter and brighter and brighter until it filled the whole car. And her friend turned to her and goes, "What in the fuck is that?" And then they both blacked out. They woke up in the car 4 hours later on the side of the road. They just stared at each other. And she said that they were kind of in shock. They didn't know what to say. They didn't talk about it. Her friend was like pale and saying, "I don't want to talk about this. Just bring me home." So she brought her friend home. She went home. And at the time, you know, she has no reason to make it up. She was with a very abusive partner who obviously thought that she was out for other reasons. Definitely was not buying a UFO story.
Yeah.
But for years, she and her friends, like for the next few years, they would joke around once they were able to talk about it a bit more. And she'd say like, "Oh, I don't know, maybe I've got like a hybrid baby out there." And then when a few years later, when she got pregnant for me, it was really funny. Nobody believed her that she was pregnant at first, because there was no roof on the house. My parents were doing renovations and actually sleeping under the stars. So like the jokes throughout her pregnancy and during birth was that she had an alien baby. So that's my mom's UFO encounter. She's never gone for regressive hypnosis. She doesn't have any memories. She said that it just approached, the bright light approached them, filled the car, they blacked out and woke up 4 hours later. That's it.
That's so wild. Like no reoccurring nightmares, nothing like that. Just literally just the light missing time.
Well, a couple of years after that, she had a massive brain aneurysm. So she doesn't really remember, like that time period is a fuzzy for her to begin with. And she doesn't really remember dreams anymore. So I'm not sure, but I can ask. I can keep asking her. Something might pop up. Yeah. You never know.
I mean, now does she, does she feel like that is maybe linked to this experience at all? Or is it just, does she keep that separate? Like, is it like, it's just such a weird thing. Like, how much has this affected her?
Yeah, it's something where, like growing up, she would mention it every now and then. So like clearly it had an impact and she remembered it. But when I asked her again more recently about it, she said that it was just so scary that they decided to never talk about it. But, you know, I had never thought about the aneurysm and that being connected. But the friend that she was with, she now also has brain damage where she's losing the fluid on her brain. So I don't know.
That's interesting. Weird. That's kind of a weird connection that they both have, you know, these issues. I mean, is it maybe a coincidence? Maybe, but like they also both had this unexplainable event happen to them. Now, like from your experience, like when you talked to her, like how is she? Like what's the vibe you get from her? Like, is this something that terrified her? Like how do you feel when you talk to her?
Well, it's a little bit hard to gauge because, to be fair, my mom is very spiritual. Like, her family growing up, her mother would go into trances and speak in tongues. And my mom's always had like a belief in the supernatural. So for her, she's like, "Yeah, this was scary, but I've got like 30 other scary stories too." So she's just kind of like that.
Yeah. Well, that was going to be my follow-up question. Like, did this experience, like, you know, change her beliefs or change how she, you know, kind of carried her life?
Like a little bit, because I know her brother was very much into Star Trek and aliens and all of that. And she wasn't really that fascinated. But after this experience, she started doing more research. Like, she didn't go in hard and heavy, because like I said, she was cool, but she did get more interested in aliens after. Yeah,
it's that's so fascinating. That and her friend, same. How was her friend after this?
I'd say not totally all there. Like, she was always a little bit off after, but I didn't know her before, so I can't say if she was always like that.
Oh, that's so creepy. And this was in Northern Ontario, you said?
I'd say like Middle Ontario.
Middle Ontario in mid-80s?
Late 80s, yeah.
It's just so, it's such a strange occurrence. I've heard so many very similar tales. I think her name's Karina Sables, pops into my mind of telling a story like this where they're just driving and it's like, boom, lights out, lights back on. And they're like, what happened? Where are we? Like, what time is it? It's such a fascinating thing. Cause you know, if it was one person, I'd say, you know, maybe you could chalk it up to like, you know, some sort of, you know, blackout spell or like a seizure, or maybe there was some sort of medical underlying situation. But for two people to like have that experience and then go on and have, you know, different issues with their brain later in life is kind of like, to me, I'm just like, it's kind of an interesting connection between those experiences. If she ever gives you more, please send in and call in and let me know.
Oh, absolutely. You know, if I can ever get her to call in and tell her side firsthand, because I remember her saying that she doesn't remember the car turning off. She doesn't remember pulling over to the side of the road and parking. Like, she said it was just in the middle of driving, snap, and then wakes up just parked on the side, on the road, absolutely fine.
That is like just wild. So it's, like that's an abduction story. Like that's the stereotypical, you know, everything that is a precursor. The only difference is she has no memory of what had transpired during those 4 hours where she was gone. Anything like when she got back disheveled or just like exact same, like no noticeable.
Exact same everything.
Weird. Like you just like a long blink and you're just like, where did all that time go?
Yeah, 4-hour long blink.
Yeah, quite wild. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing that. I hope, you know, if you can convince your, I would love to have her on. And if this time doesn't work for her and she wants to tell the story to get it out there, you know, shoot me an email, cosmicchannelspodcast@gmail.com. I can make some flexible times to get that firsthand account. If she would like to share it, I would love to hear it.
Well, yeah, I'll let her know, man.
Perfect.
Well, hey, thanks so much for giving me a space to share. You're doing a great job on Cosmic Channels and Sunnyvale Strong, brother.
Thanks for listening. Take care of yourself.
You too. Have a good night, man.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, I mean, those are stories I love. Just straight up missing time. I mean, listen, we're not saying aliens on that one, but aliens, right? Those are the ones where you're missing, like, just... You black out and you come to and all this time is missing. 4 hours. That's not an insignificant amount of time. It's not like you had a 15-minute cat nap and you had someone in the car with you. It's wild. So if you've got an abduction story or you've got a missing time story, call into Cosmic Channels, 1-833-703-0424. I want to hear it. We got a call on the line. Let's go to the caller. Cosmic Channels, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Brother, it is Tyler Hall from West by God, Virginia.
What's going on?
What's going on with you, buddy?
Oh man, just you know, taking calls, chilling here, having some drinks. That's about
Hell
it.
Yeah.
What's new with you?
Hell right.
How's the fundraising going for these documentaries?
It's good, man. We wrapped up. We finished with 125% funded or something like that.
Right on.
Something crazy. We raised like, sorry, excuse me. I'm doing secret shit.
We
raised over like $120,000 or something.
Right on.
Yeah. So it was really, really well received. And yeah, but anyway,
good.
Not trying to advertise.
No. If I want, where? So give the people a little snippet about what you were raising fund. What were you raising funds for?
Yeah, so I work for a production company called Small Town Monsters. We direct high strangeness, phenomena, cryptid movies. And you can find us on pretty much every streaming platform, Small Town Monsters. So if you're into cryptid documentaries, we're a pretty, you know, large-scale production company that makes high-quality cryptid stuff.
Yeah, go check it out. And what do you got for us tonight?
Sorry, buddy. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, look, go check it out. And if you got it, what do you got for us tonight as for a story?
Well, I encountered a witch the other week. And it was horrifying. And I don't know how PC I have to be. Is the show still like kind of whatever? Like we can kind of tell crazy stories.
Oh, of course. Yeah. There's right, yeah. It's not for kids.
Let me get this straight. Are you guys?
It's not for fucking kids.
Just making sure, dude. I didn't want to come on here and be like, this fucking witch grabbed my dick.
No,
that's where it's going.
All right. No, it's it works.
All right, cool. And did you guys split up? Like, I know you didn't split up, but like, so Cosmic Channel is its own thing now, and it's just Instagram, or what's this streaming one now?
Streaming on YouTube, Facebook, Kick. You just got to search Cosmic Channels.
Okay, sweet.
We're trying to spread the net of content we do.
Yeah. Makes sense. That's badass, man. I'm stoked for you guys. Always crushing it.
So let's hear about this. I want to hear all about this dick grabbing witch. And where does she live? What's her address?
Okay, so, dude, she would 100% be down for old Braden, but I don't know if she can handle the hog. All right, so check it out. We're in. Let's put us in western northern Virginia. Okay.
Yeah.
We're at. This town, I'm not going to name places. I don't want to give my location out. But we're in this. Think of it as super rural, almost European setting, British Isles, maybe kind of Irish, you know, kind of looks like Ireland. So we're in northern Western Virginia, and we're in the country hills of this rural area. Okay. There's a little somewhat of a bar, you know, it's an apple cidery called Apple Atcha. If you look that up, you can find exactly where I'm talking about. But anyway, Appalachia. And it's not your typical business. It's kind of like whoever wants to come, however long we want to stay open. We've got like six different ciders on tap, and they bring in a bunch of local people who play music. You can bring your own guitar and pick with these people. It's just kind of like just this real loosely run business, but it's very welcoming and warm, right?
Yeah.
So my old lady and I, my girlfriend, we go to Appalachia. We're having a few drinks, having a good time. We're with another buddy of mine, and he's picking guitar with these guys, these musicians. Everything's fine. Well, I start getting on the cider a little too much, man. And this shit like varies in alcohol percentage. You could get like a 4% cider 1 second, and then you go to get the same one, and then it's like a 16% cider. This shit just varies left and right.
Well, and cider's wild. Like, let's be real.
Oh,
here.
Dude, it was,
you'd be like,
wild.
I'm gonna have five beers. You're totally fine. You have five ciders, and you're like, you get call an ambulance.
You're fucked.
Yeah,
exactly, dude. And then you're gonna get the sugar or diabetes because it's so rich with sugar.
Oh yeah, you're dead the next day.
Yeah. Oh, it was awful. So, and they also make mead there, which is pretty cool. So it's like a very European setting. It's an old mill, and it was like stone foundation, stone walls, that kind of thing. So it's like already kind of a weird setting, but it was a good vibe. So I'm still crushing these ciders. My girlfriend, this is like midnight at this point. I think we got there like 8. She's like, all right, I'm going to the vehicle. I'm going to go hang out in the vehicle and you guys have fun. I'm going to take a little nap and then just come out. Don't be too much longer. But she was super cool about us kind of getting shit faced, right?
Yeah.
So we're like, all right, tight. Well, there's this one, this middle-aged woman in there, right? She's got... Think of Cleopatra, but if Cleopatra... I'm so sorry. Think about Cleopatra, she gained like 200 pounds, okay?
Yeah.
And so she got this short little bob Cleopatra haircut, but she's a white woman. And I'm like, okay, this lady's kind of weird. But anyway, I'm drinking these ciders. I'm totally shit-faced at this point. I wind up in this next room with this woman. I don't know where I'm at. And she's holding my hands. Okay. So I'm like, this is weird. What is going on? My buddy Dylan's like in the next room, like having a good time talking to other people. I'm getting held by this Cleopatra woman. I'm like, what the hell? And I couldn't like talk to her. It was weird. And she goes, she starts speaking in tongues. Okay. I'm like, what the hell is going on? So she's holding my hand. She's like rubbing my hand, speaking in these tongues. And she goes, ask me anything you want. I'll tell you anything. I'll tell you anything you want. I said, you know, I couldn't talk really. She goes, I know that you love the beach. You love North Carolina. You love the Outer Banks. You vacation there every year. And that's like a true statement. And I've never met this woman in my life. My buddy did not know her at all. And I don't know any of these people. It was the first time I've ever been in this place. Okay. Yeah. So she's telling me this thing that's very accurate. And you know, it's kind of, I could say that's kind of obscure, but it was like, I felt like it was very accurate that she knew this. And she goes, I can tell you anything you want to know. I can tell you anything you want to know. Hold, like rubbing my hands and shit, dude. And I said, I don't want to know anything, you know, like I don't want to, I didn't feel comfortable with this woman.
Yeah, you should ask, and, when is this encounter over?
What is it?
When is this encounter over? That's what you should ask.
Yeah. Oh, no shit. Like, can you please stop touching me? So she's like rubbing my hands and speaking more of this, like I said, like speaking in tongues almost, or like Latin language that I can't understand. And I said, I don't know why I said this, but I said, you're very seductive. And she, I'm not shitting you, dude, grabs my dick. And I went, okay. And I like sobered up in that moment. I ran out of there. I said, you're a demonic witch. And I ran out of that place. I hopped in the car with my girlfriend. I said, that Cleopatra woman just grabbed my dick. And we drove the fuck home.
That's weird. But she like, she was spot on prior to that.
Dude, she was spot on, dude. And there's another thing she was saying. I don't really want to get like too into it, but she was talking about a buddy of mine who had committed suicide not too long ago, a few years ago. He had committed suicide. And she was talking about that shit too, and really, and she said his name, and it was weird, dude.
That's weird. What's your take on that? Like, what's your take on this?
I don't know, man. I was so fucked up that it's like, you know, it's a story that I wouldn't feel super comfortable just sharing with anybody, because I don't think many people would believe me because I was so fucked up.
Yeah.
But it felt so real in the moment. Something did happen. I know that. But I was also incredibly intoxicated. So, like, you know, it's one of those things. I wish it would have been a sober experience, but maybe the experience would never have happened if I was sober. So, I don't know, maybe
you wouldn't have been as easily led into a back room.
Dude, getting rubbed down by this pagan Cleopatra woman, this pagan Egyptian.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the most recent thing I've experienced.
And it's the hitting, it's like, because I know some people are skilled at like doing those, like they can read you and they do generalizations and they can kind of get you hooked, right? And I'm like, part of me is wondering, because you were so intoxicated, I wonder if it was a little of that and you were just like,
sure,
you were,
yeah,
you
didn't, feels like she's bullshitting and she's like thinking on things that like almost everyone has the same experiences, like who doesn't like the beach?
Yeah. Someone goes, you like the beach? You're like,
fuck yeah, I like the beach. She's like, you love cider. You're like, I guess I do.
As it's all up, yeah, as you're barely standing and your shirt's covered in spilt cider, and your breath probably smelled like it too. You're like, holy shit, I do love cider.
You're not wrong. Holy shit.
That's two for two.
I'm like, I call her ass up. I'm like, I fucking hate cider. I'll let you know that right now.
It'd be interesting to go back and see if she's there and then to be like, hey, are you some sort of,
I was thinking that too, but I think my girl would whoop her ass.
Oh yeah. Well, she would, but listen, that's a good test too, because she would see it coming.
That's right. That's right. Little 1-2, you know?
Yeah. She'd see it coming. So interesting.
Well, thank you for having me, brother, and keep up the good work. You guys rule. And
don't worry,
anything I can do over on my end, you let me know.
Well, you keep me posted when some of your docs are coming out, so we can we'll have you.
I
on
will,
talk
man.
About
we just we're distributing that Ocopogo movie, Cursed Waters. It should be out sometime in the summer.
Right on. You guys didn't even hit up your boys for some experiences.
I don't think they. I just joined them in July, and they had already filmed the Ocopogo movie, and I don't think they even know Alien Theorizing. So I'm starting to turn them on to you guys.
Hmm. Interesting. So
maybe a collab in the future.
Yeah, I will. Well, keep me posted, and next time you guys are in the Pacific Northwest area, you let us know.
For sure. Thanks, Braden.
All right. Take care of yourself.
Be good, brother.
Bye. You know, that's really interesting. I'd like to get more calls with people who have
experiences with like tarot card reading or fortune telling, or, you know, have held a seance or been a part of a seance where, you know, maybe something unbelievable happened. So if that sounds like something that's happened to you, I want to hear it. Call in 1-833-703-0424. That's 1-833-703-0424. Now, if you are too nervous to call, you've been listening to the podcast version, you've been listening to the live streams, you just, you know, you can't call in, you can always write in to the show at cosmicchannelspodcast@gmail.com. That's cosmicchannelspodcast@gmail.com. And I will have either myself or one of our amazing fans read out the submission live on a live stream. So, you know, if that's something that would interest you, you can always send it to me via that way. And if you tune into the live streams, you'll know that I actually have... And if you turn into the live streams on YouTube, Kick, Facebook, Instagram, wherever we're streaming them, you'll notice that I actually play the fan submissions live on the live streams. And then at the end of the season, I compile them all and I have a little fan read submission episode. So if you would like to read one of the fan submissions, just hit me up on social media somewhere and I will send you a story forthwith. But we got a call on the line. Let's go to the caller. Cosmic Channels, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, what's going on, man? This is Jesse from Wyoming.
What's going on, Jesse?
Not a whole lot. It's been a couple of years since I've actually called in. Probably don't remember, but I had some Bigfoot story and a haunted house story. But tonight, I'm going to give you my final story about the alien encounter that I had, all with the same individual, the one dude that was activated.
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically we were out on a hunting trip out in like southwestern Wyoming, area called Battle Mountain. And this area, Battle Mountain, also has another area called Sheep Mountain. And we were hunting between these two peaks, more or less, down in the valleys, down in the draws. We had a camp set up. We were out there for a week. And we kept going back to the same ridge every morning. You know, you get in there before light, about 4 o'clock, it's still pitch black. We're sitting on this ridge and we're waiting for the sun to come up, and off in the distance there's a little plateau, and I mean it's probably 2.5-3 miles out in front of us, but there's nothing between us and the plateau, so we can see it clear as day. And we know it's there because we've been there all week. We've been seeing the same skyline, if you will, all week. So we know what we're looking at. So we're sitting on this ridge, we're hunkered down, we're kind of glassing with what little light we have, looking for, you know, elk or whatever we'll see. And all of a sudden, on this plateau is a light. And this light is round, but big, right? We think it's like a vehicle. So we're watching, and we're glassing. Our binoculars don't quite go out that far, but they go out far enough that you can tell that this is definitely a light. It's an obvious light in front of us. So we're watching this light, and it comes off the top of the plateau, and it zigzags real slow down what we thought was the face of this plateau. Now, that's the key, what we thought was the face. We assume there's a road. We assume it's other hunters driving their vehicle down this road. And we watch it until just about sunup. So 4:45, almost 5 a.m. So we watch this thing for like 35, 40 minutes all in. And we watch it zigzag all the way down. Finally gets to the point where we assume it's in the valley. And it disappears. No big deal. Sun comes up. We're sitting there. And you know, like when the sun first comes up, you're out hunting, it gets super cold and everything goes dead quiet. You know that time in the morning?
Yeah.
So as that sun starts to come up and we get better light, we can now see this plateau that we've been watching all morning, which we thought a vehicle was driving down. So we pull out our spotting scope, which is way stronger than our binoculars are, and we spot, because we're wondering, like, where the hell did that truck go, you know? Because as far as we can see, there's no roads down in this valley. It's just prairie, because it's Wyoming. So we glass the side of this plateau. It is a sheer rock face, and it's got to be, I don't know, rough guess, couple hundred feet tall at least. No roads, no nothing. I'm talking about a straight vertical rock face to a flat top plateau out in the middle of somewhat prairie land, but also kind of surrounded with foothills and such, you know, larger mountains around this plateau, but it's a significant feature in the center of this prairie. So when we realize that there's no road on this thing, we start thinking, well, how the hell did that light traverse down the face of this thing? And the light was big enough that it looked like off-road lights on a truck bumper or something, you know, like a really bright light. Like, it was brighter than headlights, but they never hit us directly. You know, like when lights kind of turn and face you?
Yeah.
You can tell, like, oh, the vehicle's coming at us or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it never did that. It just kind of moved back and forth sideways. And it was moving at such a great distance back and forth across this plateau face that we just assumed that it was like a switchback road going up the face of the mountain. So when we realize that, in fact, there is no road on this plateau that we see, we, you know, kind of, I wouldn't say we were freaking out about it, but we're like, holy shit, what the fuck? Like, how is that even a thing? Like, we must be missing something. So we sit in our little hidey hole, and, you know, after about 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning, starts to warm up. We don't see shit. We say, fuck it, let's get in the truck. Let's drive down to that spot. We'll get as close as we can. Well, the problem was is that the plateau was actually in Colorado. We were on the Wyoming side of the border, but we could physically see across the border, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So we were only able to drive to within probably like, I don't know, a half mile maybe of this plateau before it was essentially fenced off with ranch land and everything else, private property. And sure as shit, we get out when we get as close as we can, pull out the spotting scope, we look again. It is a vertical rock face. No way, no how anything is traversing it, let alone the size of a truck or a vehicle. And then that's the only thing we see. We don't see anything else for like, what, we're out there for like another 3 days? Nothing, not a goddamn thing. Just that one random morning, middle of the week, we see this bizarro freaking light. So this area in Wyoming is actually the same close proximity area to where I had this Bigfoot encounter at a different elk camp. As a crow flies, probably about 50 miles northeast of where we were, but all considered the same kind of mountain range, right?
Yeah.
So pretty interesting, but I mean, that was kind of like, you know, how do you explain that?
What?
So, like, what is that?
I mean, in my head, I start to think of like some of these other areas that have these like light phenomenon, right? Like, Brown Mountain lights and stuff like that. So perhaps it's, you know, a light phenomenon like that you're seeing. Is there any, like, have you heard of any other hunters or anything like in those areas, you know, saying they've seen that stuff?
No. And so we know a bunch of people that have hunted there off and on over the years. And, you know, I've talked to them about it and no one has ever seen anything out there. However, everyone always says the same thing, and I don't care who you talk to about this area, they always say the same thing, that it just has a spooky vibe overall. It's just one of those areas that is like, you know what aspen trees are?
Yep.
Like white. There was a guy that actually called in not too long ago and was talking about spooky aspens. But so this whole freaking valley is like half aspens and then like half mountains. So you go through these bizarre aspen forests that are totally enclosed and all but blacked out with leaves. And then all of a sudden you pop out into these giant prairies. So the whole area, the whole valley in this, the Sheep Mountain, Battle Mountain area is just really got a intense vibe about it, especially at night. You know, when you're like leaving camp first thing in the morning, I mean, you can just feel the hair on your neck standing up. And it's, there's really no predators out there. There's coyotes and there's probably bear and stuff, but no real like apex predators. Like,
yeah.
Maybe cats, maybe some cougars or something.
Nothing with headlights.
No, definitely nothing with headlights. That's for sure. So it was just kind of a weird thing, you know? It's like in the way the light traversed so systematically down what we thought was a road, and then to find out that there was nothing, it was almost like it was, I don't know, like investigating the face of this mountain. The way it was moving in kind of like a grid pattern, so much so that it was just like it was a switchback road, you know?
Yeah, it's that's so strange. Like to me, I'm just thinking of all the life in my. But where did you say this was exactly?
So this is in an area, southwest Wyoming. It's between two towns. The closest town is called Encampment, which has about 300 residents in it. And then there's a town on the other side of the mountain range called Bags, Wyoming. So you're basically, you drive out of Encampment, Wyoming, and you drive straight up to a mountaintop, and then you drop down the backside of that mountaintop, and in that valley is where we were. So Battle Mountain is the valley.
So you're the first, you know, documented instance of the Battle Mountain lights. coining this now. That's absolutely wild. Now what, like, you were there, you saw it. Did you have any ideas, or do you have anything that you were like, you know, maybe it was this, or what did you think?
No, I mean, as soon as we realized there was no road and that light was like moving, somehow hovering on the face of this mountain, I mean, you know, you instantly go to aliens. Like, I mean, what the fuck else can do that? And it wasn't even like a drone or anything, right? Like the light was so big and we were so far away from it. It is just like, there's no way it could have been a drone. Like this drone would have had to been the size of a car. And all it is ranchers out there. It's literally, it's just a bunch of.
It's so weird because like
bumpkins.
You're like, what you're describing is like, almost to a T, the Brown Mountain lights. You know what I mean? Like people say that like these ghost headlights, or what's that Clinton Road in New Jersey, where people seem to see these things, these phantom headlights that just kind of appear and then disappear. But I mean, in New Jersey, they stick to the road. But this sounds like they're just bombing on a road that's not there at all.
Right. Essentially hovering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so strange. Oh,
super bizarre. And the weirdest thing is that my three stories that I've called in and told you guys, it's always with this same dude that used to work for me, right?
He's just paranormally activated.
Yeah. Every time I went out with this dude anywhere, camping, hunting, anywhere, road trips, some shit always happened. Ever since that dude moved away, nothing ever happened. Nothing. I got nothing. This is probably like 2017 or something, 2016. And that's like the last time I've ever had anything. And I've got other buddies that I go camping with all the time up here, and nothing. Never see anything else. That dude had something following him. That dude was activated in some way, shape, or form for sure.
Oh, yeah. It makes me think that there's like, yeah, he's some sort of beacon for it then, or like he's, you know, maybe sensitive or some way. So stuff's trying to reach out to him.
Yeah, you know what? Retrospectively, he was a really weird dude. Maybe he was like an abductee from a young age and just didn't fucking know it. And they were just like always kind of checking in on him.
Yeah, that's so strange.
Super strange. But like I can go out in the woods like any fucking time without that dude. Nothing ever happens. I go out in the woods once with this dude and like shit fucking hits the fan.
That's wild. I'm so curious now because we don't actually get a lot of hunters on the show calling in with weird stuff. And that's something I'm hoping we change because so many people are in the woods so much hunting every year. So I'm hoping that your call inspires someone to kind of share their tales of, you know, phantom lights or anything weird they've seen in the woods while hunting.
Well, and that's, you know, it's crazy to me, too, that you guys don't get more hunters calling in. There's another podcast I listen to called Hysteria 51.
Yeah, I'm
and
good. Brent Hand, good friend of the show.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you listen to all their podcasts, they're always talking about creepy hunting stories and shit where guys are in tree stands and like shit's going down under them.
Yeah.
Like that's a thing, right? I wonder if these hunters are like thinking like they're too manly to talk about the weird shit that goes down. I don't give a fuck. Like, yeah. I'm going to tell you all the weird shit that goes down.
Yeah. Well, they now know where to call anyone's listening to this, because hopefully it means, you know, I find that a lot of people will hear someone else's story and they go, oh, okay, shit. Like, I heard that guy and now I want to call. So hopefully you being the first hunter we've had in a while, telling your story, we'll get some more. So. Thank you so much for calling.
Yeah.
Before you go, do you want to guess what's in the box?
Oh, man. Let's see. Oh, man. Is it your little red sunglasses you used to wear all the time?
No, it's not. And they're yellow, and they're right here.
Oh.
I would never give anyone these, the world's smallest sunglasses. Thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah, have a great night, man.
All right, take care. Bye. Now, if you're listening to this and you're like, hey, I know, I can see what's inside that box. I've sent my mind through the astral plane, through the ether, and I know what's in. The only way to get a guess is to call in on Thursday nights, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at 1-833-703-0424 and tell a story. You got a story to share? You've seen Bigfoot. You've seen a ghost. You've heard phantom footprints in your old house you grew up in. I want to hear it. And in turn, you can have a stab at what's in the box. But the lines are hot tonight. And we got another caller on the line. So let's go right to the caller. Hey, mute that live stream. I can't stand the sound of my own voice. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Kai again from Florida.
Hey, Kai. Thank you for calling back. Sorry that happened. You know, it's technical difficulties, but I'm glad you called back. What do you got for us tonight?
No problem. Well, I don't know what category you would exactly classify as, but it's just something interesting that happened to me out on my boat that I can't quite explain.
On the ocean?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. You know what? I might be wrong. I usually am, but you might be the first ocean call.
All right.
Well, let's hear it.
Yeah, this is pretty weird. So I'm not really claiming it to be anything or classifying it as anything, but I'd certainly like to know what other people might think it was. There's definitely some important context that I should give, and I'll try to make that pretty quick. The other thing too is that I'm very experienced on the ocean. I'm a commercial fisherman for many years. I've owned multiple boats, getting my captain's license soon. So any like basic explanation, I've pretty much gone through in and out, and I cannot figure out what exactly happened. So I live in Florida. I'm fairly new to this area. I lived in California before, and the ocean out here is totally different than the Pacific Ocean. I mean, worlds different. So where I live is on the Gulf of Mexico on the west side of Florida. And there's where I live specifically, it's extremely shallow, probably all the way out 40, 50 miles. It's you can still see the bottom. And I do a ton of fishing here, and I have my own boat that I go out. Sometimes I go out 30 or 40 miles, and I've been everywhere. I've studied the charts, the topographical charts for the bottom of the ocean here, so that I can find reefs to fish and good places that might have fish. You know, you find rock piles or reefs or trenches, anything like that. That's where the fish like to hang out. So I've studied the bottom here, and aside from a few reefs spread out that are pretty small, I'm not talking about huge reefs, and some little rock piles, there's pretty much no major like structures or anything on the bottom of the ocean. It's relatively flat, at least for this area. For sure, if you go south or north, you're going to have a different ocean floor. But it's important to realize that where I live, for 40 miles out and at least 60 miles in either direction, it's just completely flat.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was out probably 10 miles. I was anchored up. It was completely windless, perfect, pristine day on the water. You could see the reflections of the clouds. There was not even a breeze. My boat was just completely still. I probably didn't even need to anchor. I just do it anyway. You could see the bottom. It was right there. It was maybe only 10 feet deep in every direction. And it's important to note that it's only 10 feet deep, because I've thought about the explanation for this, and some of the ones that make sense could not happen in 10 feet of water. So I'm fishing, and all of a sudden, and the visibility was perfect. I could not see a single boat anywhere around me. It was probably, I don't know, 20 miles of visibility at the least, because I could see land, and I knew that I was about 10 miles away, so I could very well see the land. So I'm guessing it was at least 20 miles of visibility, no boats, nothing around me. And I'm sitting there fishing, and all of a sudden I hear kind of just the classic sound of water when it's moving, you know, just a water sound.
A little sloshing.
And I look, and I look over, and there is a massive wake going right by my boat. Probably I could have cast it onto it, so it wasn't super far, but it wasn't extremely close. It was maybe I don't know, half a football field away or closer than that even. And it was a wake of water that was moving in both directions, like it had a point to it, and then the water was moving to one side and to the other side, like a boat wake. And it was so big that the wake was actually creating little curling waves that were crashing. And my boat is a 16-foot Key Largo with a 90-horsepower motor. And I've looked behind my boat plenty of times. I have, you know, videos of myself driving my boat, and I know the size of the wake that my boat makes when I'm going 30 miles an hour. This wake was even bigger than the wake that my boat makes. And there was absolutely nothing on the surface of the water that could have caused this. There was nothing there. And there was no wind. And it was basically, and it's super weird to say it, but basically the only thing that it looked like was an invisible boat creating a big wake behind it, but there was no boat. And like I said, it was happening so close to me, I could have casted my fishing pole inside of the waves. Like, that's how close it was. It wasn't on the horizon. It wasn't that sort of a thing where there could have been a boat that was, you know, like on the horizon line that I could, it wasn't like that. I could have thrown a rock to where this was happening. And there was no boat whatsoever, no sound other than the water sloshing. And it was so powerful that when the wake finally reached my boat, it rocked my boat, like where I had to, you know, I'd sat down, because if I was standing, it would have rocked me around a little bit. And it was moving so fast that when I finally reeled in my pole and got my anchor in, because I was like, I want to see what the fuck is causing this disturbance, it was already so far away that I couldn't catch up to it. And my boat goes 30 miles an hour.
And this thing was just absolutely cruising then.
It was cruising, and it was so fucking bizarre, and it came out of nowhere. At least I didn't see it approach me. I just heard the sound, and then I looked to see what was caused. You know, I just looked. You know, you hear a sound and you just look sometimes, no reason necessarily. I just looked and saw this, and it went past my boat and then headed south. And I reeled up my fishing pole, pulled in the anchor, and I was going to chase it down because I wanted to see, because it wasn't something on the surface of the water. So I was like, well, it has to be something under the water, but what the fuck could be moving so fast and in only 10 feet of water? There's no, I think it's impossible that it was a whale. I don't even know. I haven't lived in Florida long enough to, I don't know everything about here. I don't know if we even have whales. But regardless, there's no way it was a whale, because I don't know how a whale could create like a boat style wake. Like, you know, there's different kinds of wakes, of course. Like, it literally was a boat wake, but with no boat, absolutely no boat. And 10 feet of water. That's why I mentioned that, because if I chased it down the entire distance that I was going to chase it down, it all would have been 10 feet of super shallow water. And again, like I mentioned, there's no reefs in that area. There's no trenches. There's nothing geographically that would have caused a random disturbance, even if a big swell came in or something like that. And that's the other thing, is we don't have big swells here in the Gulf, at least as far as I know. I don't know. Maybe somebody's going to say I'm wrong about that. But there's no logical explanation I can possibly think of. And like a machine, like a submarine or some type of thing like that, I don't see how you could operate that in 10 feet of water going that fast. That just seems like extremely hazardous.
Well, and the only other thing that, like, in my head that I thought of, but I feel like you would have 100% seen it, is have you ever seen those, like, submersible, like, dolphin, like, crafts that people, like, rich people have that go under the water,
yeah.
Right? But I feel
seen some YouTube videos of that.
I feel like you would have seen it, and I imagine that thing makes a noise.
Well, even... Yeah, I mean, even if I didn't see it, like, I'm assuming that you know what a classic boat wake looks like. It's like there's the boat, which is the point of it, and then the wake behind it goes off into different directions, kind of at an angle, like a triangle, you know, and the wake fades off into the distance on either side of it, you know, but there's like a central point that's causing the wake, which is a boat, if it's from a boat. And that's what it was doing. There was a point to where the wake was originating, and then it was going off into each side, but the waves from the wake were so big that they were curling and crashing, like bigger than the wake that my own boat makes. And I don't see how a wake like that could actually be caused from underneath the water.
Yeah,
without something coming
above it,
something breaching the surface.
Man, I'm like, I think you saw a USO. I think this is the first. This is the first call of a USO. I think you saw like a transmedium that was either had some sort of camouflage, flying silently. It was just cruising with a bit of it.
bit of it in the water. Like, that's what would make sense to me. Like, it's, there's something flying and it's touching the water. Like, that would maybe make sense of the wake with nothing.
Yeah, the only thing that I would say about that is I do live, or where I was is the Gulf of Mexico. I wasn't that far out, but I do know that wasn't the TikTok in the Gulf of Mexico? Wasn't that training for something in the Gulf of Mexico? Or was that San Diego? I can't actually remember.
To be honest, I don't know off the top of my head where that was.
I think it's the Gulf of Mexico. I think that's where the TikTok was. Or no, yeah, the TikTok. Because I think...
TikTok.
Either the TikTok, or the gimbal. I know that one of them is San Diego and one is the Gulf of Mexico. And I think the
TikTok, Southern California, and then the gimbal is gimbal. It's the gimbal is off the near Florida coast.
Yeah. Okay. So that's something that I thought of too, because I was like, I know that one of those kind of famous, really well known cases is kind of in the area that I was. Now, I was only about 10 miles out, so I don't know how far they were, but that's definitely something that crossed my mind. I mean, but you know, having seen it in person, it's hard to think about something that wild, you know, like something as wild as an actual craft or UFO. You know, it's like I'm trying to think of the most likely possibilities, but I just I'm absolutely stumped on this one.
It's like, because you know, with your description, and I understand why you paint such a picture in the beginning. It's because you're like, you're eliminating the being like, oh, it's a whale. It's like, it's 10 feet of water. I would have seen that. And they don't, like, they can move, but not with a wake like that. With, you'd see a fin or something, you know, right? Like, there's no subs. It's such a weird one. You're like, the only other thing, if we're not going USO, like, maybe there's some sort of advanced like military ship, but I feel like for it to be silent on the water would be almost ludicrous to think, right? Like,
yeah, it was super, super fucking weird. And it was one of those things where, like, I just felt just like weird for the whole day. Like, 3 days later, I was still just feeling weird, you know, like, just weird about the whole thing. Like, it left me with a very uncomfortable feeling, because I cannot explain it. And I've told a few people, like, you know, some of my friends who I consider to be smarter than I am, and like, all the explanations that we've come up with, it's like, you can, or not necessarily them because they weren't there, but I personally can cross them off, because I'm like, well, there's just no way that it could be that, because not, these explanations can't operate, as far as I know, in 10 feet of water. Like, there is no, I mean, a submarine has to be, what? I mean, I would imagine a real full-on submarine.
I think they'd be in trouble if they were
yeah,
if they were sitting there in 10 feet, they probably, you'd be like, oh, there's a sub, I can see it, it's poking out of the water.
Yeah, no, it I mean, it's so shallow that if you jump off the side of the boat, like, just straight up and down, your feet will hit the bottom and then you'll bounce back up. It's like jumping into just like a regular depth pool almost. Like, it's, there's no, I mean, you know, there's hardly any water there. And I mean, it's so shallow that when you're, before you know the area, you have to kind of, you know, watch yourself, because you might end up in too shallow of water to operate your boat. But there's nothing like crazy, like a, all of a sudden a drop off or a trench or a big giant rock out there. You know, those would be marked with navigation signs. And I've looked at the bottom of the ocean out there, the maps, because I try to find those places, because that's where the fish are. And the area that I was in wasn't that. I was just out there kind of hanging out because it was such a nice day. I mean, I was fishing, but I wasn't doing the crazy fishing that I normally do, where I'm actually looking for some serious structure and and, you know, going for groupers and things like that. I was just kind of relaxing on the ocean on such a pristine day. And there was no wind. It's absolutely impossible that it was wind that caused it. Absolutely impossible that it was a swell. Like everything that I could possibly think of, I would kind of have to say is absolutely impossible.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I'm at a loss other than what you've seen there is some sort of USO. That's what my brain goes to as the easiest explanation. Like, I cannot think of anything. And mind you, I'm not becoming a captain. My time on the water is limited to a 12-foot tinner. So, you know, like, but I can't think of anything that would create the kind of wake that you're describing that's not breaching the surface in that depth of water, moving at that speed, other than I think you have a genuine USO sighting here, my friend.
Yeah, super weird. I mean, it's possible just because everything else is impossible. But it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, it's even like, even though that's where my mind typically goes to, like, it's funny because if I don't personally experience something, it's so easy for me to jump to those types of, you know, more fun conclusions and ideas. And I'm always the first one to suggest something is a UFO or a conspiracy of some sort. But then when it actually happens to me, it's like, for some reason, I'm like worried to go to that spot, and I'm like trying to come up with the reasonable explanation. But for this one, I can't do it.
Yeah, it's a wild one, man. I'm just blown away. I'm almost speechless of that one. I'm like, that is such a cool experience to have, and also, you know, I mean, a little terrifying because you're like, what the hell was that? What the hell was that? Like,
yeah.
How often do you think about it when you go in the water?
Well, that might have actually. No, I went out. I went out one other time after that. And I, you know, I'm hoping that I experience it again. I'm just like, I'm really bummed I wasn't able to chase it down and get the answer to it because I tried. I mean, I literally reeled up my pole. I pulled in my anchor, but by the time I was done, you know, because that took me probably a minute and a half or something, it was just too far gone. And I even, like, I went up to wide open throttle and I was kind of chasing it, and it just sort of faded off into the distance. And I could even still see the wakes from it. You know, there was my wake and that wake still dissipating for a while afterwards because it was such a big wake. And that's the thing, is like, any type of optical illusion, I pretty much cleared that out of the way too, because I went to chase it down. So I got I got different angles of it. It wasn't just the one angle from the side of my boat. I got the angle of actually chasing it through the center of the wake, like you would if you were having like a boat chase. So now, I saw that side of it too, which is like someone
in the chat is asking, is there a possibility that it was like a formation of dolphins in a V formation?
Right. So I've seen that. I have two videos, really, really awesome videos of the dolphins out here, and they for sure can swim really fast. They do make a disturbance in the water. But I mean, if in my mind, for that to be the case, it would have had to have been a formation of like humpback whales going 30 miles an hour. Like
that's how big.
Yeah, there's just, like, of course, that's a reasonable explanation, and it's probably easy for somebody who didn't see it to believe that that could be the explanation. And I definitely don't blame anybody for thinking that, but having seen it with my own eyes, I just don't think that that's possible, that they could make such a crazy disturbance. I mean, like I said, again, perspective wise, I have a 16 foot, you know, 1500 pound, maybe even 2000 pound boat that tops out at 35 miles an hour, and my boat does not make a wake that big. So there, again, that's the perspective to think about is, like, I don't know if an animal could produce something that is
that
bigger,
big.
You know?
Wild.
And go that fast. But I mean, there are dolphins here, but, you know, I've chased down dolphins, to get, you know, cool videos of them swimming around my boat, and they like it. They ride the, you know, the motion of your boat. They'll actually, like, kind of surf under your boat and ride the disturbance. But even when a dolphin breaches the water, it just, you know, it does obviously disturb it, just like anything breaching the water would, but they're not making a wake of any sort.
Yeah, it's so wild. Kai, thank you so much for calling in with that. You're the first USO call we've ever had from out on the water. Absolutely wild stuff. Before I let you go, do you want to take a stab at what's in the box?
I was going to guess your glasses, but I think the last guy did, and I was like crossing my fingers that he wouldn't guess it because I thought I was going to be right with that guess. It's super funny that guy guessed that.
It's a good guess.
But yeah, no, I was like 100% when he said that. I was like, God damn it, he stole my fucking right answer. So I'm kind of running a blank. If I tried to guess, I'd just be winging it. I thought that was like an educated guess, those glasses. So I have absolutely no idea. But if I was going to wing it, I would say something slightly sharp. I don't know what it is, but it's a little sharp.
It's too vague. Kai, thank you so much for calling in. Take care of yourself and be careful out on those waters.
Okay, sounds good.
Bye. Woo. Absolutely wild. I think that's the first USO call. I'm almost 100% sure from out in the water. But that's going to be our last call for this episode of Cosmic Channels. So if you want to call in Thursday night, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you can tell your story. The lines will be open. Before we go tonight, I just want to give a quick shout out to a friend of mine who passed away recently, Kyle Goodrich. He was a fellow lover of all things weird and strange, and he unfortunately passed away from a long battle with cancer. And I just wanted to tag this on at the end of the show for anyone who's listening that's been humming and hawing about taking that trip, or, you know, you haven't called a friend in a while, or you've been waiting for the right time to start and do something, whether that be some sort of artistic endeavor, you know, buy that boat you wanted, take that, go on that fishing trip, whatever it is, do it, book it, because you never know when it's going to be your time. And so just, you know, make sure to take some time for yourself and make sure to let all your friends and loved ones know how much you mean to them, because you never know how much longer they're going to be around. So with that, the cosmic lines are now closed. We will see you all next week.